Now we're holding on Nun Ahmed Bey is the third line of the wide lines. We learned yesterday about the fact that Abbas Koyun, who's Mezana, gets Sreifa, as the Torah says. And the question is, what exactly we were talking about, what the order of precedence is as far as the four misses based in. And one thing we pointed out is that there's machloikas in what cases she gets Sreifa, given that a regular Bas Yisrael. Given that a Bas Yisrael, not a Kohen, and Arusa is going to get Skila if she's Mezana, and a Nesua is going to get Chenek, in which of those cases does it apply to a Bas Kohen that she gets Sreifa? So we had the Chachamim saying only when she's an Arusa, because otherwise, when she's a Nesua, are you going to downgrade her from Sreifa to from Skila to Sreifa? They hold that Skila is more stringent than Sreifa, so therefore they would hold that. Therefore, as we learned yesterday, the Chachamim hold that a Bas Koyen is getting Sreifa only if she was a Nesua, if she's an Arusa, where as a Bas Yisrael she would have gotten Skila, then a Bas Koyen she also gets Skila. On the other hand, we said Reb Shimon holds that that no, either way she's getting Sreifa, and he holds, as we learned yesterday, that Sreifa is more stringent than Skila, so in all cases she's being upgraded. The Meshech Chochma, by the way, has a very interesting take on all of this. He learns that maybe even according, now we're going to have later on, we're going to have more opinions on the subject on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We're going to have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, but he says that maybe even you could even say that maybe there would be a possibility that she gets downgraded from Skila to Sreifa. You're going to say, how could it be because she's a Bas Koyen, she gets downgraded according to the Chachamim that Skila is more severe? The Meshech Chochma says a very interesting point. When you look at the Dalet Misses Beis Din, only Sreifa is unique. Sreifa is exclusive to cases of Znus, to cases of Arayis. Skila, as we're going to learn in our Perek and the next Perek, you have a whole bunch of Averis for which a person could get Skila. Hereg, there's nothing to do with Arayis. It's only murder and being a member of an Irnidah and being one of the guilty parties and an Irnidachas. And Chenek, as most of the cases a person gets Chenek for are not Arayis either. Sreifa, all 10 cases where a person gets Sreifa is all in connection with Znus or Arayis. So giving her Sreifa highlights very clearly to everybody that Esavia Himchalelis, that she's desecrated her father's name, as the Gemara is going to explain later on what that means. But that might be a reason, according to everybody, that she gets Sreifa in all cases, maybe even where she would have normally gotten Skila otherwise. Okay. Anyway, let's so getting into the Gemara then, the third line of the wide lines on Nun Amud Beis. So now we're going to bring a Braisa and analyze it that discusses this whole matter of a Bas Koyen and the Sreifa in more detail. Turn on the bottom. The Pasuk says, Uvas ish koyen ki seichel. The Pasuk says, the daughter of a koyen when she begins. Now, the word seichel actually has a double meaning. It can mean to begin, but it can also mean to be desecrated. So if you only had that, if it didn't say the next word, liznois, you would think maybe even she's chayev sreifa, even if she was mechalel Shabbos or did other averus like that. How do we know that it applies exclusively to znus? Talmud Lema liznois. Therefore, the pasuk continues with the word liznois, implying the chilulin shabbos znus. So the pasuk is not talking about where she desecrates the kedusha of kahuna by doing other averus such as chilul Shabbos, only when it's talking about znus. You would have thought, after all, given that maybe the Chumrah of Koyanim, as the Gemara is going to discuss this whole point, is going to discuss this whole Braisa later on, you would think that maybe because of the Chumrah of Koyanim, maybe the punishment for her for Chilul Shabbos is different than it would be for everybody else as well. But no, we're saying strictly for Znus. Now, Yochala Fila Pnuya. Now, you would think that maybe she's Chayev, this Misa, even if she was a Pnuya, even if she was an unmarried girl and was Mizana with somebody. No, Nemakan Aviyah, Venemala Halan Aviyah. We have Xera Shava from the word Aviyah. We talked about previously at the beginning of the Perek, Xera Shava from the word Aviyah, a different Xera Shava from that teaches us something else. But here we're talking about a different pair of words, Aviyah, as Aviyah Himachalelas, and where it says, Lizner Space Aviyah. Actually, it is the same Xera Shava as before, but anyway, Malahalan. Znus im Zikas Abal. Now, the case of a Bas Yisrael, where it says that she's given skila at the entrance of her father's house, is talking about where she was already connected with her husband. There was already erusin, because that's the pasuk describes that she was a naira moirosa and she was mezana, and therefore she's getting skila. So there, she had to be an arusa already. Afkan im so the same afkan znus im zikas abal. The same way over here, the znus that we're talking about with a bas koyin, based on this gzeira shava, has to be that there's already some kind of connection to her husband, so she can't be a pnuya. If she was, in general, a pnuya is mezana, whether there's any specific punishment for that or not, the Rambam holds there'd be malchus for it. The Raiva disagrees, but in any case, misa, srefa, there definitely wouldn't be. Whether it's by erusin only or by nisuin, well, that was the machloikas of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim we had before, and we're going to revisit that machloikas later on. Next, the Braisa continues. Maybe the word aviha means that only if she was mezana with her own father, then she's chay of this misa of srefa, and not if she was mezana with somebody else. In other words, maybe the pasuk, maybe we should read the pasuk, uvas ish koyin ki seichel liznes es aviha. If she desecrates herself and is mezana with her father, then he mechalelas, then she's desecrated herself and him, and therefore be'ish shisarif. How do we know that it applies to when she was mezana with other people as well? Maybe it comes to exclude if she was mezana with anybody else. No, because since the pasuk continues that she is desecrating and the heavy kol adam omer, then it means everybody else is included as well. So we're talking about that the pasuk is implying that she is causing him to be desecrated and not the other way around. He mechalelas, she is desecrating him. Now, if it was that she was mezana with him, then they're desecrating each other. So since it doesn't say that, therefore we have to understand that it means it applies equally well if she's mezana with everybody else. The Yad Ramah explains differently that the Esavia Himachalelas goes together, that way it's something where she's desecrating her father by being mezana with other people. In any case, so we see that it means not just when she was mezana with her father. Okay, halmani makayim aviha. So what do I mean? So what are we doing with the word aviha in the pasuk? So that's the gzeira shava we said before. Nemakan aviha v'nemalahalan aviha. We have the gzeira shava on the word aviha. Malahalan znusim zikas abal, afkan znusim zikas abal. Then it means exactly what we just said before, that it doesn't apply when she's a pnuya. It applies only when she's a married woman, whether arusa or nesua, according to the different opinions. Now, if that were the case, though, if we're going to take the Gzeira Shava from the case of a Naira Marosa was Mizana, then we would say, first of all, she has to be only a Naira, so she's within 6 months after Shtei Cyrus, and an Arusa. Afkan, you would say maybe the same thing over here, the punishment of Srefa for the Bas Koyen is only if she's a Naira, Afkan Naira Vihi Arusa, but Naira Vihi Nisua. What about if she's still a Naira, but she's already gone through Nisuin, the second stage of marriage, Bergeres Vihi Arusa, or if she's already past the 6 months and she's a Bergeres and she's still Arusa, Bergeres Vihi Nisua. Vafilo his skina, and maybe even if she's old, so she's not really under her father's. I mean, once she's begeres, she's legally not her father is legally not under her father's rishus anymore. But then, if she's old, then you can't really say that she's causing any disgrace to her father altogether. So how do we know minayin? How do we know that in all those cases there is srefa as well? Now again, as we learned yesterday, even according to the opinions that she doesn't get srefa when she's in arusa because she's already on the hook for skila, and therefore she's going to have to get skila, which according to the chachamim is the harsher punishment. But nevertheless, everybody agrees that as a nesua, whereas a bas yisrael she would have gotten chenek, as a bas koyin she's getting srefa. But if you only had, but fakir, based on the gzeira shava, you might think it applies only to an arusa and only if she's a naira. So how do we know it applies to all these cases? Tamad lema uvas koyin. Therefore, the pasuk says, and the daughter of a koyin. So in other words, we learn from the extra vav that it applies in those cases as well. That's according to Rashi, and we're going to learn later on in the sugya on Aleph Amud Beis that Rabbi Akiva darshins the vav in that mean the Rabbi Akiva darshins the vav in that kind of way. Rashi also points out, you can't say that if it weren't for the Vav, you would just say that you would just say that since the pasuk doesn't specify one way or the other, that it includes all possible cases. Because after all, the Gzeder Shava would have to tell us otherwise. So therefore, we have to say therefore that we're davshining from the Vav. Now Tosfos brings up a problem over here. If we're going to say that this Braise is like Rav Akiva, the problem is that the Braise is going to continue and say and talk about a case where she was married to somebody who was osir to her in the first place. She was married, for example, to a mamzer or a nosin, etc. Now, according to the Chachamim, that's fine because kedushin are Tosfos in such a case. But Rav Akiva himself holds elsewhere in Shas and Yevamos, he holds that kedushin are not Tosfos in such a case. So in that case, how would the Braise possibly be according to Rav Akiva if he holds that in such a case she's not considered married in the first place? So first of all, Tosfos points out that maybe in fact Rabbi Akiva would distinguish between different kinds of chayve lavin when kedushin are Tosfos and when not. But also, anyway, Tosfos says the Braisa could be like Reb Shimon, and in fact, Rashi says as much. Further on, Reb Shimon may hold like Rabbi Akiva as far as darshining the Vav, but not hold like Rabbi Akiva as far as with whom kedushin are Tosfos. So the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues. Now, when it says Bas Koyen, Ein the Elisha Nisus the Koyen. Now, so far, if you only had the word Bas Koyen in the pasuk, you would think that it means that only if she's married to a Koyen. Now, why would you think that? Why is she any less of a Bas Koyen if she's not married to a Koyen, if her husband is a Levi or Yisrael? We'll get to further down when we start analyzing the Braisa. But the Braisa continues, Nisus the Levi or Yisrael. If she's married to a Levi or to Yisrael, lo ovid kechavim, if she's married to an ovid kechavim, now generally that means a goy, but if she's married to a goy, kedushin are certainly not Tosfos. So in fact, the correct girsa, as you have in Kisvei Yad, and then an early prince of the Gemara that didn't go through the censor, is kusi. Often you find that the censors took out the word goy or nochri or whatever and replaced it with kusi. Here we have the other way around. Somehow they got the notion that kusi over here itself was a euphemism for a goy, and therefore they replaced it with ovid kechavim. But really, what it means is a kusi. Where you have the famous machlokas all over Shas, whether kusim are considered Jews or not. So here we're talking about that according to the opinion and during the time when they were considered legitimate Jews. So Rashi points out that even though Rabbi Akiva does not hold that kedushin are not Tosfos, but there is within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, there is an opinion within Masechet Yevamos that explains that even Rabbi Akiva would draw a distinction between different kinds of chayve lavin, between whether it's a lavin, whether it's a lav involving close relatives called a lav de she'er versus other kinds of relatives, so versus other kinds of lavin, the goy or the cholol, etc., that we're going to discuss over here. Is not a lav that has anything to do with relationships, and therefore, according to that opinion, Rabbi Akiva would say that kedushin are Tosfos with it. Rashi does seem to accept the girsa that we're talking about a goy over here, because Rashi mentions that you have the issur of loisis chatin bom, you have an issur of not to intermarry with the goyim. So that being the case, then we may not be talking about kedushin. We're not talking about kedushin tofsim, but how is that? A bunch of achronim actually ask on Rashi, kedushin are certainly not tofsis with a goy. So maybe what it means is one answer is that we're talking about one of the seven nations of or one of the specific nations that are not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people, the males from Moav and Ammon and so forth. Where even if they're misgayer, they're still not allowed to. So that's what we mean over here by Ovid Kechavim. We might mean them rather than that they are gayrim, but so therefore kedushin are tofus, but nevertheless they're still under an isur lav. But again, the other possibility is that a number of Kisvei Yad have the Girsa Kusi, which would be different than what Rashi is saying, and according to that, we'd be talking about that case. Anyway, the Gemara, the Braisa continues, L'cholol, if she's married to a cholol, Which, by the way, the halacha is that she's perfectly allowed to marry a cholol, but nevertheless, she's also allowed to marry a Levi or Yisrael. But anyway, she becomes a cholola as a result of that. L'mamzer ul, or if she's married to a mamzer or a nosin, minayin, how do we know that in all those cases, the din that she gets srefa still applies? Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, uvas ish koyin, a daughter of a man who is a koyin. So by adding the word ish, means, in other words, it doesn't matter what her husband is, it just matters what her father is. Afal pisha, a kehenes, even though she is not considered a kehenes anymore, nevertheless, her father is a kohen, and therefore the same dinim apply. Next, the Braisa continues. The pasuk says, "Esavir hi mechalelas." Let's focus on that word "he." So we learn from "he besreifa ve'en boil besreifa." We learn from that several dinim. First of all, that only she's getting sreifa, but not the boil. As we learned yesterday, the boil would be getting chenek or skila, as the case may be. He besreifa ve'en zemim meha besreifa. And also, as we learned yesterday, if there are edim zemimin against her, and if there are if the edim against her turn out to be edim zemimin, then also we say that that they don't get sreifa; they get whatever punishment would have gone to the boil, chenek or skila, as the case may be. And again, as we've talked off and on the last couple of days, you have the question: does that apply across the board, or does that apply only if the boil is actually on trial as well, as opposed to if he's underage or if he ran away or whatever? Anyway, Rebbe Eliezer finishes off the Braise by saying, "Es avia bisreifa ves chamiha biskila." Es avia, there's sreifa, but es chamiha, with her father-in-law, there's skila. What does that mean? The Gemara is going to deal with in detail further down on the Amud, and going on to Amud Bey is what Rebbe Eliezer means by that phrase. Okay, thus far the Braise. Let's start analyzing it. So you said, we started by saying that if it didn't say the word liznois, then you would think it means that even if she was mechal Shabbos or some other issue like that, then she would be chayef srefa. And therefore the pasuk says liznois. So the Gemara says, what do you mean chilul Shabbos baskilahi? If she was mechal Shabbos, then she's getting skila, not srefa. So what are we saying? That if because she's a bas koy, and therefore we should downgrade her from skila to srefa? So Rava says, because our Braisa is like Reb Shimon, Dama Srefa Chamura, whereas we learned yesterday, he holds that Srefa is more stringent. So, since we find that the Torah is Machmir on Koyanim, the Torah puts so many extra mitzvahs on Kohenim. There are restrictions who they can marry. They can't become Tomei, etc. Now, to be sure, those apply only to male Kohenim, but still, the point is that there are special dinim that apply to Kohenim. And on the other hand, they have the positive thing. They have the mitzvahs of serving, and they have the mitzvahs of serving in the Beis Hamikdash. So you're gonna say, well, what about women? They don't serve in the Beis Hamikdash and they don't have these marriage restrictions and all. But the fact is, they also have, for example, they also eat truma and they eat chos of a shoik. And they have a few other things as well that are the zroil chayayim v'keva, the mitzvah of giving certain parts of an animal to a kohen. You can also be mekayin by giving to a daughter or a wife of a kohen. So given all of that, that kohenim have all these extra mitzvahs, you would think tiden b'sreifa, maybe that would be reason enough to give her sreifa. Again, according to Reb Shimon, that sreifa is harsher than skila. Kamash malon, therefore, that is why the pasuk had to say the word liznois, to say that no, this whole concept of sreifa applies only when it's a matter of znus. Okay, the Gemara says, Maishna minedi day. Now, why indeed? Still, maybe you would say that, what's the logic though? Why would we think that a Bas Koyan is any different than a Koyan himself? Why would we think that, fine, if we're going to say it's a matter of that the Koyanim have extra mitzvahs, then that would require us to say, if we were to say that, if it weren't for the word Liznois, that all koinim get sreifa, according to Reb Shimon, that sreifa is the harshest punishment, that all koinim get sreifa for chilul Shabbos. Instead, even according to Reb Shimon, a male koin with machal Shabbos gets skila. Only a bas koin, we were saying, if it weren't for the word liznois, would get sreifa. So what's the have a minute to think that she should that she should be any different than he? And the answer is sakrad chamina, because you would have thought like this. Because it's one thing with a male kohen. After all, Shabbos is exempted for him when it comes to the avoda. He does the avoda even when it's Shabbos, even though that involves a number of malachas. So therefore, you could say that that might be a logic to say that that even if he's mechallel Shabbos outside of the avoda, of course he needs to be punished. But maybe we would say therefore that in a way it's not so bad because after all there are exceptions anywhere where she's where he's not chayav for chillul Shabbos in the first place, and adrabba where it's a mitzvah. But you would say with a bas koyin, kiven deloy shtaria Shabbos lagaba, we never find a we never find an exception. To we never find an exception to this concept that she can't be mechallel Shabbos for the avoda because she doesn't do the avoda. Ema tidin b'sreifa, you would maybe think that she is chayiv sreifa kamash malon, and that's why we needed the word liznois to tell us that not. Now the Orach HaNer in this connection points out that after all the fact is that even though the pasuk says it's aviyah hi mechallelas, she's degrading her father. It's only through znus that that happens. Even she breaks Shabbos, for example, is not a reason to say that it's aviyah hi mechallelas. In fact, as we're going to say further on, we know that when she certain kinds of znus passel her from eating truma, but we don't find, for example, that let's say if she's mechallel Shabbos that she should be passel from eating truma. So therefore, so that's a reason to say that it applies. That's a reason to say that it applies exclusively to znus, and therefore the pasuk in fact says exactly that by adding the word liznos. The Torah's Chaim doesn't really like that because the Gemara mentions further on. We're going to learn on Daf Nun Beis that really anytime she does an aveira, then anytime she does an aveira or any yerusha is considered a degradation of his father. Rather, he gives a different answer that he gives a different answer that that piece of Gemara over there is only according to Rabbi Shmuel, which we're going to talk about later on. But we're saying that that still the word liznois in the pasuk mentions is saying that this whole concept applies only to znus and not to other kinds of averus. And Tosfos also points out earlier, by the way, that we had the question, maybe the word aviha means she's mezana with her father, and only then is there sreifa, not in any other case. Well, once it says if that were once we already have once we have xedosh, once we have the word liznois to tell us that it means only znus, then clearly and also we have xedosh shava from the word aviha, so clearly we see it's talking about znus. So anyway, why would we have thought that it applies to chilul Shabbos such that we would need liznois? Once we have xedosh shava from the word aviha, we wouldn't need that anyway. And Tosfos says because then we would have thought that the Xedoshava tells us something else, that it excludes a Pnuya, so maybe it would be both. If it's Znus, then it has to be. She's not a Pnuya, but if it's not Znus, then Chilul Shabbos would also work and she'd be Chayiv Sreifa for that. The word Liznois makes it clear that not, it's only in the case of Znus. Continuing to analyze the Braisa. We said Yochala Filip Pnuya. We said you would think if the Pasuk didn't tell us, if we didn't know otherwise, that this whole concept applies even if she's a Pnuya. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, hol liznois? What do you mean? The Pasuk says liznois. The word znus literally means to go astray. So it means, in other words, that so it means that she was with her husband, and she goes astray from him. So almost by definition, it can't apply to a pnuya because the word znus means yotza. She goes away from under the reshus of her husband. Rashi brings a pasuk in Hosea that gives this that gives this meaning. So therefore, so by definition, it can't apply to a pnuya where she doesn't have a husband. So why would we think once we have the word liznois, why would we think it applies to a pnuya? So the answer is kiddi Rabbi Lazar. The answer is the Braisa holds like Rabbi Lazar. He holds in Yevamos that if an unmarried man and an unmarried woman have relations together, not for the sake of marriage, just for znus, then Rabbi Lazar holds that she's considered a zoina insofar as she's possible to marry a koyan. As we know, a koyan can't marry a zoina, so Rabbi Lazar includes in the definition of zoina for that purpose a pnuya. So we see according to him that the word znus has a broader meaning than just an eshes ish. So therefore, according to him, you would have thought that it applies, even if she's a pnuya, and therefore the pasuk needs to tell you with xedosh shava that no. All right, we said in the braisa oy eina oimer avia ela lahotzias kol adam. So we said in the braisa, you would think maybe the word aviha means that that not if she was not if she was mezana with anybody else, only if she was mezana with her father. So the Gemara says, Ella, my knee, shizinsa me'avia. So what are you telling me then? The Braisa would say, if it weren't for the limud that we said, but if it weren't for the words hi mechalelas that we said before, we would have thought it's only talking about when she's mezana with her father. My iria bas koyen. Well, then why bother mentioning it in connection with the bas koyen? I feel the bas yisrael nami. Wouldn't the same din apply to a bas yisrael as well? Among the cases, except for a bas koyen, all the other cases of srefa involve a man with his daughter or granddaughter. Or mother or grandmother, mother-in-law and grandmother-in-law, etc., as we're going to learn later on in the ninth perek. So a man with his daughter, they're chayv sreifa anyhow. So even if if it weren't for the words hi mechalelas, what would we think? If bas koyin and bezana with her father, she's chayv sreifa, and if she was a bas yisrael, she'd also be chayv sreifa. Now, how do we know that? It doesn't actually say anywhere in the pasuk in so many words, do not have relations with your daughter. The pasuk says, don't have relations with your granddaughter, and the pasuk prescribes a punishment for it. But how do we know that a daughter is also one of the arayas? Omar Rava, da Omar Rava, Omar li Rav Yitzchok bar Avodimi, Asya Hena Hena, Asya Zima Zima. We have two Zeta Shavas that tell us regarding the warning not to do it and regarding the punishment not to do it. Namely, by a granddaughter, the pasuk says ki avoscha hena, and then you have an arayas of a woman and her daughter. That if a man has married a woman and she has a daughter, so she's his stepdaughter. She's not biologically related to him, but still, the pasuk says also that his wife and her daughter or her granddaughter. The pasuk also says on an hena shara hena. And therefore, that's a warning to not have relations with them. So the same way, now we see in the pasuk, we see when it comes to the woman that we see that when it comes to the wife and her children, her daughters and granddaughters, it mentions both daughters and granddaughters. So therefore, the word hena that it mentions in connection with granddaughters of one's own granddaughters also includes the daughter. So that Gzeira Shava teaches us that the daughter is also one of the arayas, even though it doesn't say explicitly so in the pasuk. Again, I probably said it a little bit not so clearly, but to explain, since the pasuk says by the case where a man marries a woman who already has a daughter from a previous marriage, and it says that if he has relations with the woman herself and her daughter, or the woman herself and her granddaughter, then that's an isser. It's an isser arayas. We learn from that. We learn from the Gzeira Shava that the same way when the Torah speaks of one's own granddaughter, it also includes one's daughter. So that's the Gzeira Shava of Hena Hena that teaches us that it's Osir. And Astya Zima Zima. And then we have a Gzeira Shava from the word Zima, where again it mentions as far as the case where as far as a man with his wife's daughter, if the pasuk says Zimahi. And then by a case where a man marries a woman and then also has relations with her mother, where the pasuk says Zimahi, the pasuk also calls it Zima. And the pasuk says that they get sreifa. So the Gzeira Shava tells us that the same thing. When a man has relations with his daughter, then they're both chayiv sreifa. So that being the case, and by the way, the Gemara elsewhere points out, you see how important the Gzeira Shava is. If it weren't for this Gzeira Shava, we would be missing an entire mitzvah in the Torah. The Rambam, by the way, mentions in a couple of places, so Taka, why didn't the Torah spell out in so many words, don't have relations with your daughter? And the reason is because it's fairly obvious. Once it says don't have relations with your granddaughter, then we would understand all the more from your daughter's daughter, then we would understand how much more so your own daughter. So the Pasuk didn't need to spell it out. And in principle, we could have learned it from a Kal Vachomer, but because we have a rule called Ein Oinshin Min Adin, we can't punish based on a Kal Vachomer, therefore we needed the Gzeira Shava. In any case, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so again, a regular any person is mezana with his daughter, then there's sreifa involved. So what are we saying over here in the braisa before that if it hadn't said the words hi mechalelas, we would have thought the bas koyin is chayiv sreifa only when she's mezana with her father. In that case, it wouldn't matter whether she's a bas koyin or not. Either way, there's sreifa based on these gzeira shavas. And the answer is itzrich. We still need the words himachalelas. Sakadad chamina, because otherwise you would have thought, krala pukimidirova. Maybe indeed the pasuk is telling us not like Rava says, that in other words, don't pay attention to those gzeira shavas. Maybe we would say that indeed normally there is no sreifa for a man and his daughter together. and only by Bas Koyen is there. So therefore we'd say Midigali Rahmana Bas Koyen Veloy Bas Yisrael, precisely because the Pasuk mentions this concept only by Bas Koyen and not by a Bas Yisrael. So therefore maybe indeed it doesn't apply to a Bas Yisrael at all, and the whole Gzeira Shava that we said before wouldn't and the whole Gzeira Shava that we said would before wouldn't apply. So in other words, maybe we'd say the Ran explains, you can't just throw out Gzeira Shava. The Ran explains, fine, maybe the Gzeira Shava would tell us that there's only an Azhora Ba'alma. There's a lav involved, but not necessarily that there would be Srefa involved. So Kamash Malan, therefore, the Pasuk saying, by saying Hima Chalalas, clarifies for us that no, the Gzeira Shava we do actually use to say that there's a lav and that there's Misa involved, namely Srefa. And then in addition, we also have, by Bas Koyen, on top of that, if she's Mizana with anybody, not just her father, then she's Chayev Srefa. Okay. Continuing in the Braisa, we said Bas Koyen. We said when the Pasuk says Bas Koyen, Ein li ela shenisses le Koyen. Well, from that you would only know if she married a Koyen. Nisses lelevi the Yisrael over kechavim or lechol or nosin or lemamzer minayin. How do we know that it applies if she marries anybody else, including ones where kiddushin, including ones where there's an Isu Lav involved? And as far as the Ovid Kechavim, we discussed in detail before what that means, whether it actually means a Goy, or whether it means a Kursi, or whether it means a Ger from one of the nations who can't intermarry into the Jewish people, whatever. The Brai said, Tamadloim Abbas Ish Koyen. Therefore, the Pasuk says the daughter of a man, a Koyen, and by adding that extra word man, we're saying that it only matters that her father is a Koyen, not who her husband is. So we learn from that, Afapisha ain't a Kehenes. So we learn from that, even though she's not considered a Kehenes at this point. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? She's not a Kehenes. Mishum de insvalahu lahani la bas koyenhi. What do you mean? Because she marries one of these people, that makes her no longer a bas koyen. She's still a daughter of a koyen. The two, midi kehenes la koyen ksiv. And also, anyway, does the Pasuk even say anything about a kehenes married to a koyen? It does not. It just says a bas ish koyen. So regardless, she always remains a bas ish koyen. Why would we even have a minute to think that if she's married to somebody outside of the koyenim, that maybe this din shouldn't apply, such that we had to use the word ish to tell us not? Why would we have thought that way? And the answer is Sakrat Chamina, because you would have thought like this. Ki Seicha Liznus Amarachmana. The Pasuk says that she got desecrated through Znus. Now, you would think, Hani Mili, therefore, so you would think it applies only Heicha de Kamatchala Hashta, only where the first aspect of her becoming desecrated and her losing a certain degree of her status as a Bas Koyen is only when it begins now with the Znus. Avalha, but in the cases, at least when she's married to a Levi or Yisrael, maybe not. But after all, when she's married to a Cholol or a Mamzer or a Nosin, given to Kamaschol of a Kaima Meikra, she is after all considered Mechulelas already as soon as she gets married. De Omer Mar, and we know because the Pasuk says regarding Truma, the Pasuk says Vas Koyen Kisiel de Ishzar, that when a Bas Koyen becomes true an Ishzar, and that means not only marriage, Kibin Shin Nival al Apostle Law, as soon as she's had relations with somebody who is apostle to her, such as a Mamzer or Nosin, or a Goy, or anybody else, Psola, then he passels her from ever eating Truma, and also from marrying a Koyin. So we would have thought that in that case, she's already considered desecrated in the sense that once she has relations with one of these people, a Mamzer or Nosin or what have you, whether in or outside of marriage, already she's lost a certain degree of her status as a Bas Koyen that she can never eat Truma, even when she's away from the guy. Even when she's divorced, or if they never got married in the first place. And furthermore, the Levi Yisrael Nami, and furthermore, as far as a Levi or Yisrael, they don't passel her from eating truma just by being boil her. But the Pasuk says, V'shova al beis avia kinureha. The Pasuk says only when she returns, if she's childless and her husband dies or divorces her, and she returns to her father's house like she was when she was young, from which we learn, in other words, that if her husband dies or divorces her and she's childless, then she's able to go back to eat truma. But as long as she's married to the Levi of Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat. She's not allowed to eat truma. So again, in a certain sense, she's already been degraded from the kedusha of the kahuna by marrying them. So now you would have thought, without the Braisa telling us, that she wouldn't be punished with Srefa for being Mizana either, because after all, she's already, to a certain extent, Mechulelas. That's what the Braisa meant when it said that she's not a Kohenes, meaning in other words, she doesn't have the full status of a Kohenes at this point, as far as being able to eat Truma. Kamash Malan, therefore, the word ish tells us it doesn't matter the fact that there was this degree of chilul beforehand, the fact that now she was mezana, that creates the real chilul that makes it a saviyah hi mechalelas, and therefore that she's chayev seifa, even though previously already she had been married or had relations with somebody who was unsuitable for her. And the Gemara points out, udeloy k'Rav Meir. That being the case, then, that means that our braisa is not like Rav Meir. Detanan, we learn in Detanya, really supposed to be Detanan because it's a Mishnah in Masechta Terumas. Bas Kohen Shenisus Yisrael, a daughter of a Kohen who marries Yisrael. So now she again, she's also Teruma as long as she's married to the Yisrael or as long as she has children from him. So V'ochla Teruma, if she eats Teruma B'Shoigig, now you have like this. The Torah tells us that if a Zor eats Teruma B'Shoigig, they have to pay the Kohen the Keren, the actual value of the Teruma, plus a Choymesh, plus 25%. What they do is they actually give the, you don't give the Kohen money, you give the Kohen the same type of fruit and the same type of produce and it becomes Kodesh, it becomes Teruma. So now Rav Meir says that if a bas, so now the Tanakama in this Mishnah, which is going to be as we're going to say further, Rav Meir says that if a bas kohen is married to Yisrael, v'ochla truma, if she eats truma b'shoigig, mishalemes is a keren, she does have to pay the keren, the actual value of the truma, because in effect she stole it. The ein mishalemes is a choymesh, however she does not have to pay the choymesh because that applies only to a zur, and she's not fully considered a zur or a zora, because after all there is the possibility eventually that she might be able to return to eating truma. So right now she's the wife of a kohen. Right now, she's the wife of a Yisrael, rather, and therefore she's not allowed to eat Truma. But nevertheless, there is the possibility later on in life, if her husband dies or divorces her and she's childless, then she's able to go back to eating Truma. So even now, you can't really consider her a Zora altogether. Therefore, says Rav Meir, if she ate Truma B'Shoigig, you can't consider her a Zora who ate Truma. You can consider her basically like somebody who stole Truma. So she just pays the Keren, not the Chaimesh. And if such a woman were to be mezana or misasa b'sreifa, then she would be chayev sreifa because again she's a bas koyin. But nisus l'echad min apsulin. But Rav Meir continues: if she had married somebody who was posel, such as a cholol or nosin or mamzer or etc., then she's permanently barred from eating truma, like we just said. Therefore, mishalemes keren v'chomesh. Therefore, now she's considered a full-fledged zor, and therefore she would have to pay a keren v'chomesh if she ate the truma b'shoigig. Umisasa b'chenek. However, if she's mizana, then her misa is no longer a sreifa. Now she gets downgraded to chenek because she's not considered at all a bas koyin. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. Either way, whether even if her husband was one of the psulim, she still pays only the keren, not the choymesh, because they hold that the concept of paying a choymesh only applies to somebody who was a zor their entire lifetime, as opposed to she didn't start out as a zor. She was a daughter of a kohen when she was still living at home. As an unmarried girl, she was able to eat truma. So therefore, they say even now that she's a zora, she's not chayev the choymesh, umisasim b'sreifa, and either way, their misa is sreifa. So we see that the chachamim hold that, as we said, in our braisa, that even if she's married to a cholol or nosin or what have you, then she still is getting srefa because she still is a bas koyin. Whereas we're saying Rav Meir would disagree with that concept and says that once she's lost her status as a bas koyin in the sense that she's never going to be able to eat truma again, then he would say she gets chenek instead. So therefore, so our braisa is clearly not according to Rav Meir. Now, the Braisa had said, the last line of the Braisa had said, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Es Avia Bistrefa, Ves Chamiya Biskila. Rabbi Eliezer said, Es Avia, the Srefa, and Es Chamiha, her father-in-law, there is Skila. So we have to figure out what does that mean. My Es Avia, Ves Chamiya. What do we mean by that? Ilema es avia me avia es chamia me chamia. Does it mean es avia would mean if she's mezana with her father, then there's srefa, because as we said before, father and his daughter, there's srefa. And if she's mezana with her father-in-law, then there's skila. That's perfectly true, but my iria bas koyin, then why mention a bas koyin? I feel a bas Yisrael nami. The same thing applies to a bas Yisrael. Bitei b'srefa v'kalose b'skila. The fact is, as we're going to learn in the continuation of our Masechta, a man has relations with his daughter-in-law, then they're chayev skila. A man has relations with his daughter, they're chayev srefa. So there's no reason to single out a bas koyin in that regard. So we can't understand Rabbi Eliezer that way. Ella, rather, what we're going to say is Esavia Birshusavia. So we're going to say the words Esavia means when she's in the Rishus of her father, namely she's in Arusa. Eschamia would be Birshuschamia, and the word Eschamia, her father-in-law, would mean when she's in the Rishus of her father-in-law, maybe after the Nisur, namely after the Nisurin, where at that point she's out of her father's Rishus, and she and her husband live somewhere near his parents. Not, by the way, in the same house as them. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that a son-in-law, that a newlywed couple should not live with the chassan's parents. That can create all kinds of problems. But the point is that they generally live in the same area. Okay. Well, the question is kaman. Then the question is, according to which of the opinions that we find on the subject of when a bas koyin gets sreifa, which opinion would Rabbi Eliezer be following then? Now, of course, Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. He could argue with all of those. He could argue with all of those Tanoim. But nevertheless, we don't actually. The fact is that we'd still have to understand then. We'd still have to say then. How is he going to understand the? How is he going to understand the pasuk? Every Tana, as we're going to go on to say now, every Tana who holds what cases the Bas Koyin is getting Sreifa has his own understanding of the Pasuk, but when it comes to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't find. We just find him making the statement, Esavia versus Eschamia, but without explaining how he learns it from the Pasuk. So that, and then anyway, why is he arguing against the other ones? Where is his source to argue against them? So the question is like this, if you're going to say like the Chachamim, who in our Mishnah said that Skila is stronger than Sreifa, then Ha'amri Nesua Yatzis L'Sreifa V'lay Arusa. Well, we also learned previously that they hold that only a Nesua gets Sreifa and not an Arusa, which is the opposite of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, if we're going to understand Oviha is mean Birshus Aviha and Chamiya is being Birshus Chamiya, then Rabbi Eliezer is going to be saying the polar opposite of that, that if she's a Nesua, she's getting skila, and if she's an arusa, she's getting sreifa, and that's exactly the opposite of the chachamim. Which again, he can argue with them, but then what's his basis for that? The e could Reb Shimon, if Rabbi Eliezer holds like Reb Shimon, where in our Mishnah he said that sreifa is stronger than skila, and therefore we said that to give her sreifa would be an upgrade. The problem with that is ha'omar, but he also says achas arusa v'achas nesua b'sreifa. He says she's getting sreifa either way, whether she's an arusa or a nesua. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is saying over here that only an arusa gets sreifa. The e could Rabbi Shmuel. If you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Shmuel, which we're going to learn on Amud Beis, where Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Bas Koyin is in fact talking only about an Arusa, Rabbi Shmuel agrees with the Chachamim that Skila is stronger than Sreifa, but nevertheless he says that Skila is stronger than Sreifa, nevertheless he holds that a Bas Koyin, an Arusa, who's Mizana, does not get Skila, but rather get Sreifa. In other words, in terms of the actual din, he agrees with the Chachamim, he is saying that only an Arusa gets Sreifa, which is a third possibility. We said, so only an Arusa gets Sreifa, according to him. A Nesua does not. A Nesua, according to him, would get Chenek. But the problem is, then how is Rabbi Eliezer saying that Eschamia there would be skila? If he's following Rabbi Shmuel, then it would be that he'd have to say that Eschamia there's chenek, because that's what Rabbi Shmuel holds, that when she's a Nesua, that even though she's a Bas Koyin, she still gets the regular punishment for a Nesua who was Mizana, namely chenek, and only when she's an Arusa does she go from skila to Sreifa. So it comes out that Rabbi Eliezer is not like any of the three Tanoim. Now, again, he certainly has the right to argue on any of the Tanoim, but on what basis is he doing that? So the Gemara says, no, that's not what Rabbi Eliezer means. And again, so it can't mean that it can't mean being Mizana with her father versus her father-in-law, because there's no Chiddush in a Bas Koyin. It can't mean when she's in the Rishus of her father versus her father-in-law, because then it doesn't match any of the known opinions on the subject. So Sholach Rovin Mishmeid Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Kachu Hiatsa Shal Mishnah. So Rovin sent a message from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. This is how we need to explain the Mishnah. This is how we're going to explain Rabbi Eliezer. La Olam Kirabbanan. In fact, Rabbi Eliezer does agree with the Rabbanan that Sreifa is strictly when she's a Nesua. If she had been an Arusa, she would be getting Skila. But So you're going to ask in that case, then what do you mean? The Chacham are saying the opposite of what he's saying. What he means to say, though, is like this. When he says Esavia, when he says Esavia b'Seifa, what he means is Kol Shehu L'Matam Misas Avia, in any case where her Misa is less severe than the Misa that there would be for father and daughter, namely a father and daughter, as we said before, is Seifa. So what he's saying is any time when her Misa is going to be on a lower level than that, or my Nihu Nisua Bas Yisrael, namely a case of a Nisua who's not a Bas Koyan, who's a Bas Yisrael, De'ilu Nisua Bas Yisrael B'chenek, where normally she would get Chenek, which is the, according to the Chachamim, is the lowest of the four. Nevertheless, Hocha, but over here, Hocha B'Misa Savia B'Seifa. But over here, we're going to upgrade her to the same misa that she would have gotten had she been mezana with her father, namely Sreifa. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer, when Rabbi Eliezer says es avia b'sreifa, what he means is he's saying this woman, if she hadn't been a bas koyin and she's a nesua, she'd be getting chenek, like the Chachamim say. However, because she's a Bas Koyen, then we treat her as though she had had relations with her father, where any woman has relations with her father, she's Chayiv Seifa, therefore here also she's Chayiv Seifa. And then when Rabbi Eliezer says, as far as Chamiha, what he means is, anything which is higher and more severe than the Misa for that would be for a girl with her father, or my niu Arusa Bas Yisrael, namely an Arusa Bas Yisrael who's getting Skila, De'ilu Arusa Bas Yisrael Ba'alma B'Skila, that she's getting Skila, here we're going to downgrade her the Misas Chamiya B'Skila. We're going to give her the Misa, the same Misa that she would have gotten. We're not going to downgrade her. Sorry, we're going to say that she gets the same Misa that she would have if she had had relations with her father-in-law, namely Skila, because as we said before, father-in-law and daughter-in-law is Skila. So, in other words, in short, Rabbi Eliezer does agree with the Chachamim that only when she's an Arusa is she getting, that only when she's in a Nesua is she getting Seifa. If she was an Arusa, whereas a Bas Yisrael, she would get Skila. Then as a Bas Koyin, she's also getting Skila, but he's using this kind of mnemonic device to use that to say, in other words, that in the one case, she's getting the same Misa she would have if she had been Mezana with her father, and in the other case, she's getting the same Misa that she would have if she was Mezana with her father-in-law. Okay. The problem with that is maski for Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah questions that. He says, midi lamaila lamata. The fact is, Rabbi Eliezer does not use the words lamaila and lamata. He just says es avia and es chamia. So it's a very nice pshetel, says Rabbi Yirmiyah. But where do you have any hint of it in Rabbi Eliezer's wording? He would have used the word lamaila and lamata in order to clarify that. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no, don't understand Rabbi Eliezer that way. Rather, you're going to say in the end that Rabbi Eliezer does hold like Rabbi Shmuel, that only the Arusa, which is the opposite of the Chachamim, that only the Arusa gets Sreifa and the Nesua does not. The Nesua, according to him, gets Chenek. I didn't Rabbi Eliezer say that Es Chamiya B'Skila, so how are we understanding that? So Vahochi Kamar, so Rabbi Yirmiyah says what Rabbi Eliezer means to say. Es avia means bivshus avia. Es avia means when she's still in the reshus of her father, namely she's in arusa, then bisrefa, then she's getting srefa. The es chamia, but when it says es chamia, means mei chamia, does in fact mean if she was mezana with her father-in-law, biskila, then she's getting skila. V'chol adam, but if she had been mezana with anybody else, b'chenek, then she would be getting chenek. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer basically holds like Rabbi Shmuel that a bas koyin, that a bas koyin arusa is getting srefa. Nesua ordinarily would get chenek, but he's saying I am adding an extra twist that if she was mezana with her own father-in-law, then she gets upgraded to skila because in any case because in any case being mezana with her father-in-law gets her skila anyway. Okay, so in other words, he would be saying that listen, when it comes to a father-in-law, there's no difference between a bas koyin and a bas yisrael. Either way, she's getting skila. So now, before when we did that, the Gemara asked, "Well, wait a minute. Then, what's the chiddush of a bas koyin? Any bas yisrael would be the same thing. Would be the same thing over here. But here we're saying that listen, the same way as you would say that there's an exception to when for an arusa bas yisrael, she goes from skila to she goes from skila to sreifa. Maybe the same way with the father-in-law, she should also go from skila to sreifa, and therefore we need to be told that not." So in fact, the Binyan Shloimeh explains actually that Rabbi Eliezer's main chiddush is the point that he holds like Rabbi Shmuel that only when she's an arusa does she get sreifa. The fact that he mentions eschamia is just because he mentioned esavia, so therefore he mentions eschamia as well, just to round things out. But really, it's true. There wouldn't be really much of a chiddush in it because any woman who's mezana with her father-in-law would get skila anyhow. Omar Rava, but then Rava says, Maishna, fine, but the problem with that answer is then what's the difference? So what are you saying? That Es Avia in Rabbi Eliezer's statement has a different meaning than Es Chamia. You're telling me that Es Avia means when she's in the Rishus of her father, and Es Chamia doesn't mean in the Rishus of her father-in-law, but rather it means that she was Mizana with her father-in-law. Rava says, Maishna, oi aidi v'aidi mamish, oi aidi v'aidi rishus. It should be consistent. Either both of them are talking about znus with the person himself, the father or the father-in-law, or they should both be referring to when she's under his rishus. But why are you splitting them up and saying one's talking about rishus and one's talking about mezana with him? Elo, Omar Rava, so rather Rava says, lo'olam k'rab Shimon. We're going to answer that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Rabbi Shimon that Srefa is stronger than Skila. Now Rabbi Eliezer had a whole had now Rabbi Shimon rather had held Rabbi Shimon had held therefore that because that Rabbi Shimon had learned from the Psukim that both an Arusa and an Asua get Srefa. So he would say an Arusa who normally would get Srefa is getting upgraded to, is getting upgraded normally an Arusa would get Skila. He or she's being upgraded to Srefa. Because according to him, Srefa is more severe, and a Nesua, who normally we got Chenek, is also being upgraded to Srefa. So Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Shimon as far as the order of the Dalet Misses based in. But Hasava, Rabbi Eliezer, Nesua ka'arusa. However, Rabbi Eliezer holds that a Nesua, who is a Bas Kohen, is like an Arusa. Ma arusa chad darga maskinim law. So he says like this, consider by an arusa, you're taking her up one level. Miskila the Srefa, again, following Rab Shimon, who says that Srefa is harsher than Skila, it's one level higher. So he would say the same way as you're putting her one level higher, af nesua chad darga maskinim law. The same way by nesua, we can only bring her up one level of Misa. Mechenek l'skila. Now, given that according to Rab Shimon, the order is Srefa, Skila, Chenek, Hereg, then it comes out. Chenek is only 1 degree below Skila. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, unlike Rabbi Shimon, who's saying that both of them are getting Srefa, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, no, wait, the most you can do, even if we agree with you, Rabbi Shimon, about the order of the Dalet Misses based in, about the order of severity, nevertheless, we can't upgrade her more than one level. And therefore, that means that if she's a Nesua, then she's going only to Skila and not to Srefa. So that would be so that explains things neatly, says Rava. So it comes out that it is true that Rabbi Eliezer is a different opinion. So fine, again, Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. He's able to argue with the other Tanoim, but now we understand the rationale behind it. Before we were asking how is he arguing with the Tanoim, on what basis? Now we're saying we have a basis. His logical basis is, yes, I agree with Rabbi Shimon about the order of the Dalet Misses based in, but I disagree with him about the idea that in the case of an Nesua, we should bring her up all the way from Chenek, which according to Rabbi Shimon is third, all the way to Srefa, which is first. No, we can only bring her up from third to second, which is going to be that she's going to get skila. So therefore, according to that, both Esavia and Eschamia means she's in the reshus of her father, meaning an arusa, versus in the reshus of the father-in-law, which is a nesua, as the case may be. The problem with that is maskiflo Rav Chanina ha'aydi v'aydi Rav Shimon b'sreifa kamar. The fact is that the fact is that Rav Shimon had clearly said they both get Srefa. So where are you getting to invent that here, Rava, you're saying that Rabbi Eliezer represents a fourth opinion and he only agrees with Rav Shimon about the order of the Dalet Misses based in, but he disagrees as far as the Misses. Rav Chanina's problem with that is where are you getting that from? You want to say on what basis would he be saying that? We have a logical basis that we just said, but still, after all, we have limudim that the various chachamim are learning of what cases the bas koyin gets srefa, and. So we're going to have further down on the Amud, Rabbi Shmuel is going to make a binyan av. So if he uses that binyan av like Rabbi Shmuel does, then you're going to say that then you're going to say that it means that it applies a quote. So if he doesn't hold of that binyan av rather, then he would have to say like Rabbi Shimon, both of them are getting srefa. If he holds of the binyan av, then it would be only an arusa. So we're, yes, you could say that he argues on them, but after all, he has to have a basis in the pasuk for that, and where would we have that? So therefore, Rav Chanina says we can't accept Rava's explanation. Ella Amar Ravina La'olam K'rabbanan. So Ravina says, fine, we're going to have to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds like the Chachamim ve'epoch, but we have to flip around the two things that he said. Es Aviyah b'skila ves Chamiyah b'sreifa. That Es Aviyah, meaning when she's in the reshus of her father, then she's getting skila. Because she's an arusa, the es chamia, and when she gets chamia, and when she's in the rishus of chamia, when she's already fully married, b'sreifa, then she's getting sreifa because the chacham say as a bas yisrael she would have gotten chenek, and now as a bas koyin instead she gets sreifa. So how did the mistake come in the braisa in the first place to flip it around? The fact that it said es avia, or the fact that it said the word es avia rather than using the words arusa or nesua, just because he's using the Lashon HaPosuk, which is based on the Tanakhama who was darshaning. Before we had the long braisa, we had the braisa beginning on Nun Amud Beis that discussed the meaning of the Pasuk, and he mentioned the word Esavia, which comes from the Pasuk. So now the Tana of our braisa also used this Lashon as well. But so Rabbi Eliezer, because after all, continuation of the same braisa, so he also used the word Esavia because the Tanakhama had just been darshaning it. But he means Esavia in a different sense. The posuk esavia means that she's in nesua and she's desecrating her father, and therefore she's getting sefer. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is using esavia in a different sense to mean that she's under the reshus of her father, namely that she's an arusa. So Tosfos also adds that would also explain how it is. We just said according to Ravina, we're saying we have to flip around the two things in the Braisa. How did that mistake come in the first place? Is because since the Torah says Esavihah and mentions Sreifa, so whoever taught this Braisa misunderstood Rabbi Eliezer and thought that he means to say Esavihah is Sreifa, because after all, that's what the Pasuk says, but really it's the other way around. Rabbi Eliezer is using the words Esavihah in a different sense than it does in the Pasuk. Namely, he's using it to mean an Arusa, and therefore the correct thing is that he says that it's beskila, which would be like the chachamim. Okay, and then Tosfos also adds, as we learned before, a father and daughter is also chayav sreifa, so that would be another reason for the later Tana of the Braisa, the Tanoim who taught over this Braisa in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, to mix it up and to think that it means esavia, means that she was mezana with her father and gets sreifa. So we had several different ways of understanding the Braisa. So the Gemara continues, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Bavua, Omer Rav, Halacha k'dishalach Rovin mishmei de Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina. The bottom line halacha in this is the way that Rovin sent in the name of Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina, that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the Chachamim, a Bas Koyin is getting Sreifa only if she's in Nesua, where otherwise she would have gotten Chenek. But on the other hand, if she's in Arusa, where she's supposed to be getting Skila, then a Bas Koyin also does. So the halacha is like that. So Rabbi Yosef asks, why are we doing a halacha that's only relevantly Moshe Mashiach? We can't do Dalad Mrs. based in nowadays. So now Tosfos points out, first of all, I mean, Abaya is going to point out over here in the Gemara, listen, we learn all of Hilchos Kodshim, but Tosfos says that when the Gemara asks Hilchos HaMashiach, the question would be that, first of all, it's something that we can't do now, but second of all, it also is only with an Isser. In order for this whole point to be relevant, she has to have done an Isser. She has to have been Mezana. Limos HaMashiach, we're not going to have that kind of thing. Or even if we do, whatever, we don't need to paskin Hilchos HaMashiach for some rare case like that where somebody might do an Aveda. In other cases, of course, we need to know the halachas of Kodshim. We need to know all kinds of halachas that are going to be relevant only Limos HaMashiach, but those don't involve Avedas. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't ask on that in other places. So Tosfos also points out there can also be sometimes you might have something where on the face of it, it's Hilchos HaMashiach, but it also has a nafka minna for nowadays. Nowadays, we don't necessarily have a nafka minna from this particular detail of which case does the Bas Koyin get Sreifa. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef is asking, therefore, why are you bothering to paskin halacha? Omalei Abaye, when Mashiach comes, when the Sanhedrin is reestablished, then they can paskin it then. Omalei Abaye, so Abaye says, what do you mean, Hilchos HaMashiach? Elamayata shchitas kodshim lo lisni, Hilchos HaMashiach. You're going to tell me we shouldn't learn the halachas of kodshim, the halachas of shechting, the whole Masechta Zvachim. We shouldn't learn because it's also Chuchas on Mashiach. Ela drosh for kabel schar. Obviously, the answer is Hashem expects us to darshan it, to learn it, and to receive a schar. And after all, kol oisik b'toras ola kiliyukri ola, etc. So therefore, so there is schar to be gotten from Hashem for learning it. Hachanami drosh for kabel schar. So here also, you could say that Hashem expects us to learn it and to receive a schar, even if there's no nafka minah for it. Even if there's no nafka minah for it in halacha. And in fact, in other places, the Gemara mentions even sometimes that we want to be able to understand psukim, even when we're talking about something that happened in the past as a one-time thing. So what are you asking, Rabbi Yosef, why we need to paskin the halacha over here? So the answer is what the Gemara says is Hochi Ka'amri. Rabbi Yosef explains what I meant to ask is like this: Hilchsalamali. Why do we need to say the halacha is like Ravin sugya de halacha ka'amar? This whole sugya that we've been talking about to explain this brisa, is this something which is negeya halacha? Yes, we're saying that we're saying that according to Rabbi, we're saying there are two different opinions. There are two different explanations. We ended up with two possible explanations of Rabbi Eliezer, what he means, es aviyah b'sreifah v'es chamiyah b'skila. One that we had Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina's explanation that in fact he does hold that way, and the other explanation of Ravina that he flips it around. But either way, it's just to understand Rabbi Eliezer's lashon. So what did Rabbi Eliezer actually mean? When Mashiach comes, when the Tzchias HaMeisim, we can ask Rabbi Eliezer himself what he meant. We don't need to now pask in halacha as if to say this is the definitive way to understand Rabbi Eliezer. Says Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand why you need to do that when it's not something which is negeya la halacha. It's just something to properly understand Rabbi Eliezer's words, and for that we can wait till Mashiach comes and we ask him ourselves. Okay. Now, in the course of the sugya, so therefore, so that's that. So now we've explained the whole braisa. But now, in the course of the discussion, we mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says that as far as a bas koyin, only an arusa is getting sreifa and not an nesuah. So the opposite of the chachamim. So let's analyze that. My Rabbi Shmuel, where do we find Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and where does he get that from? D'tanya. We learn in a braisa when it says uvas ish koyin kisechel lizno. It's the same pasuk that a daughter of a koyin, when she desecrates herself and is mezana, benayra v'hiarusa kosem medaber. This is talking strictly about a naira who is also an arusa. So before, when we started discussing this point on Nun Amud Beis, we said it's not. We had actually a gzeira shava to say. That we had a Gzeira Shava to say that it's any time there's zikas habaal, any time that there's a connection with a husband, whether she's a naira marasa or not. And we said because the pasuk says uvas koyin mikol makom. So now our brisa, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is taking a different view of it. So the pasuk says ki seichel lisnis b'naira v'yarusa kosa medaber. It is talking strictly about a naira who is arusa. Maybe not. Maybe like we learned in the earlier braisa, maybe it means a nesua as well. No, Talmud Lomar like this. You have a different pasuk that says ish asher yinafes eshes re'ehu, a man who commits niluf, who commits znus with someone else's wife. Most yumas hanoyef hanoyefes, and both the noyef and the neyefes, both the boil and the nivelas get are chayiv misa. Now, when it says mois yumas without specifying means chenek. So that is where we learn that when an eshes ish is mezana, then there's chenek involved. Now, hakol hoyu b'chlal hanoyef hanoyefes. So says Rabbi Shmuel in this braisa. That so far, based on that one pasuk, most yumas hanoyef hanoyefes, it would mean that the general rule across the board for an eshes ish who's mezana, that she and her boil are chayiv chenek. Now the Torah specifies that a Bas Yisrael who's an arusa, who's a naira marasa, is getting skila, and there's also an exception carved out that a Bas Koyin gets sreifa. So Rabbi Shmuel makes a binyan av. Mak shahotzi akosiv as Bas Yisrael the skila. What case is it where the Torah is saying that a Bas Yisrael is an exception to the general rule of chenek, and when she's getting skila is arusa v'lo nesua, strictly when she's an arusa. Aft, same way, says Rabbi Shmuel, kshahoitzi akosa bas koyin l'sreifa, the same way when the posik is excluding a bas koyin and saying she doesn't get chenek, she gets sreifa, is also the same case, arusa v'loy nesua, only when she's an arusa, not when she's a nesua. So that is how Rabbi Shmuel, so here in the braisa on Nun Amud Beis that we started learning today, we said that the Chachamim had said we have a Gzeira Shova to teach us that it applies im zikas abal, but then we have the word of Askoyen to teach us that it applies whether she's an Arusa or an Asua. But here we have Rabbi Shmuel instead is using a Binyan Av to learn differently that it means only an Arusa. Now, Zememeho Uvoyala continues Rabbi Shmuel. What about Edim Zomimin against her? And what about the Boyle himself? Bichlal Vasisim Loikasha Zalman Vagomer. They would have been included in the usual rule of Vasisim Loikasha Zalman, and therefore we would say that they would get Srefa as well. So the Gemara interjects, what do you mean? Boyle, my Kasha Zalman Ika. How does Boyle come in with the Kasha Zalman? Ella, no. What it means is zomimeha b'chlam misas boyla. What Rabbi Shmuel means to say is the zomimin, or it's not a question, but it's rather a statement. The zomimin are included in the same misa that the boyla is getting. Namely, as we said before, the bas koyen, even in the cases where she's getting srefa, her boyla is getting whatever punishment there would be for the regular case had she not been a bas koyen. So skila or chenek, as the case may be. The Edim Zomimin are the same kind of thing. They are also getting the Misa that would apply to the boil and not to the woman. So therefore not Srefa. Mishum Shanema, because the Posik says, Vasisim lo kasha zomam lasis l'ochiv, the Posik says about the Edim Zomimin, due to them, as they plotted to do to their brother. From which we learn, not to his sister. So that the Pasuk is not telling us that Edim Zomimin against the woman are not punished. What it means is, it's telling us that when there's a difference in the Misa between the man and the woman, as in this case, then the Misa for the Edim Zomimin is the one that would have gone to the husband, not to the husband, to the boil, rather than to the Nivellus. Now, Tosfos brings up the point that on Omer Aleph, we already learned there was a different limud for that. We have the word he, from which we learned that only he gets srefa and not the boil and not the zoyman. So why do we need a different limud over here from the word la'ochiv for this? And the answer is because that wouldn't have told us not the zoyman. After all, you need kasha zomam, so therefore you need the word la'ochiv. And on the other hand, you would say, if you only had the word he, then you would think that only when they're giving edus on the boil, then we would say that instead the word he tells us that they don't get her misa, but if they weren't giving edus on it, as we've talked about before, about what Tosfos says at the beginning of Makkos, that when they're not giving edus on the boil because he's a cotton or because he ran away or whatever, then in fact Tosfos learns that then they would in fact get her misa, so we need both psukim to tell us otherwise. Okay, so all of that is so divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So far, all of this braisa so far is according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says no. You're telling me only an arusa gets srefa because of your binyan av. Rabbi Akiva says no. Achas arusa v'achas asua yotzes l'srefa. When it says that a bas koyin gets srefa, it means both an arusa and an asua. Yochala filo pnuya. So then you would think that maybe it means a pnuya as well. No, that's what we have, like we said before. Nemakan aviyah, v'nema lahalan aviyah, because we have the gzeira shava on the word aviyah. Ma lahalan znusim zikas abal, afkan znusim zikas abal. So it has to be that there's a connection with a husband, either erusin or nisuin. But nonetheless, it can, and therefore it can't mean a pnuya, but it's not only an arusa like you, Rabbi Shmuel, are saying. Omalay Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel says, if you can learn from Gzeira Shava, I malahalan nairav hi arusa, afkan nairav hi arusa. Well, in that case, then shouldn't it apply only to a naira marosa, just like it does over there, if you're going to learn from the Gzeira Shava. Omalay Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says, Bishmol ochi bas uvas ani dorish. I'm darshening from the extra vav in the word uvas, whereas we learned in the braisa nunam and beis that when it says uvas koyin mikol mokum, that it means regardless whether she's an arusa or not, we add that also that even if she's in a sewer, she's also chayev srefa. So again, as we said, that Rabbi Akiva darshens the Vav, and we said before, the other Tosfos had mentioned the other possibility that the earlier Braisa was according to Reb Shimon, who does darshen the Vav, but also holds about when Kiddushin or Tosfos, but in the case of Rabbi Shmuel, in the case of Rabbi Akiva, is saying that yes, that drosha of Bas Uvas is my drosha, and that's how I know that also it applies to a Nesua. Rabbi Shmuel says, "V'chim ipnei sh'ata derish bas uvas notzi zula srefa." Are you telling me because of the extra vav, you're going to darshan and you're going to say that the nesua is accepted from chenek and instead gets sleifa, you can't do that way. If you're going to tell me that the vav is including a nesua, then it also has to include a pnuya. And yet you're agreeing that a pnuya is not getting sleifa. If you're going to tell me that it excludes a pnuya, then you have to exclude the nesua as well. So in other words, one way or the other, you have my binyan av, which tells you that it applies to and Arusa, you want to argue on the basis of the Vav to also include more cases, but then you have to be consistent. Either it's both an Asuya or it's both a Pnuya and an Asuya, or neither one of them. So the answer is Rabbi Akiva. So what Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, because we have both. Ani Gzeda Shava Lama Ute Pnuya. The Gzeda Shava from the word Avia tells us it doesn't apply to a Pnuya. On the other hand, you have the Vav. Uvas tells us to include the Nesua. So he's not being inconsistent. He has different limudim for different ones of them. V'Rabbi Shmuel, so what was Rabbi, so why would Rabbi Shmuel bring up the point in the first place? Sava, he thought, midka amale bas uvas, he thought that since Rabbi Akiva had brought up the Vav of the word uvas, shmamina hodr be migzeda shava. Maybe he thought that Rabbi Akiva had retracted his gzeda shava. In other words, maybe Rabbi Akiva had started by darshaning from a gzeda shava, but then realizing that the result of that would be that it applies only to an arusa, and he holds that it includes an asua as well, then therefore he would be going back, he would be retracting his gzeda shava, and said, instead, I'm learning just from the word, from the vav of the word uvas, in which case, Rabbi Shmuel is arguing to him in that case, then it would have to include a pnuya as well. So Rabbi Akiva's answer is that, no, I'm actually still using both of them, I'm not retracting the gzeda shava, I'm just saying that in addition to the gzeda shava, there was also the vav. Okay. So the question then is, Rabbi Shmuel, hayu bas uvas my dorish bay? What about according to Rabbi Shmuel? What is he doing with the vav of the word uvas? Now, of course, the Gemara could have answered very simply that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold that we learn anything from the extra vav. There are Tanoim who hold that we don't learn anything from an extra vav. An explanation based on the Ramban is that since Rabbi Shmuel is saying it sounds like he's saying, sure, there's reason to darshan the vav, but why is that a reason to say that it includes an asua? Maybe it includes something else. So evidently Rabbi Shmuel agrees that you can learn from a vav. He's just saying that I don't agree that we should learn the nesua from it. So what is he doing with the vav? The answer is he uses it to teach us what we learn in a braisa that the father of Shmuel ba'oven taught. We find that the Torah makes a distinction among meo koyanim between whether they're tmimim, whether they're unblemished, versus whether they have a mum. Where a koyan who's a tom can serve in the Beis Mikdash, one who's a baal mum cannot. Yochol nachlik b'vnei sehen. Maybe there should be a similar distinction between women, between daughters of koyanim, that only if they're tmimim are they chayiv seifa, and if they're baali mumin, we should not. And after all, Rabbi Yosef Engel points out in Gilyon Ashas, we see also, after all, that by a bummer, a woman can do the avodah, whereas a baal mum cannot. So we see that even among women, there can be a difference sometimes between a tamen and a baal mum when it comes to the avodah and a bummer, and during the few times in Jewish history when you were allowed to bring korbanos outside of the Beis Mikdash. So you would think maybe we should have the same distinction over here. Tamed loy bas uvas, therefore we have the vav, teaches us that not, regardless, she's getting sreifa. Rabbi Akiva, what answer? I don't need the vav for that. Me vehem makrivim v'hoyu kodesh nafka. We learn that from the fact that it says that the koyanim are doing heim makrivim, and there's no vav over there. Heim makrivim v'hoyu kodesh. The pasuk says that the koyanim are kodesh to Hashem, and then it says v'hoyu kodesh. That means even bali mumim have the kedusha of koyanim. So unless otherwise specified, bali mumim have the kedusha of koyanim. And here, since it doesn't specify by uvasish koyan that there's a difference between shmimim and bali mumim, then you're not going to invent a distinction on your own. Rabbi Shmuel still would answer, Rabbi Shmuel would have said that applies maybe to the men who do the avodah, but it's sehen lo, you wouldn't know that it applies to the women as well. Kamash Malan, therefore, the word uvas koyin, according to him, comes to add that women who are bali mumim are also subject to this din of sreifa. So it comes out both of them are darshaning from uvas koyin, but they're darshaning different things. Rabbi Akiva, that it includes a nesua, and Rabbi Shmuel, that includes a balas mum. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the fact that it includes a balas mum, we learn from a different pasuk. Okay, so then we'll continue analyzing tomorrow, Best Hashem, what the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. But so far, what we have is, so far, again, we have three different opinions about when the Sreifa for a Bas Koyen across the board, according to Rabbi Shimon, only by Nesua, according to the Chachamim, or only by an Arut, and Rabbi Akiva is one of the Chachamim in that regard, and only by an Arusa, according to Rabbi Shmuel.